Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 074, the spooky edition. Well, at least the first spooky edition. We intend to have every Caffeination from here on out, at least until the blessed day, that is Halloween, All Hallows Eve, spooky editions here at the Caffeination, because we're going to try and find all the spookiest tech and everything else to enjoy. Have you enjoy this wonderful fall season that's upon us. So, all right, let's see what we got going for today. We have plenty of great tech tidbits. We're expanding the Geek Speak section today. I'll explain a little bit more about that in the tech tidbits. A little bit of general information. A couple little caffeinated bits to round out the day. And as always, plenty of great PodSafe music from the PodSafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. So let's see what we got. First of all, we'd like to say thank you to our sponsor. This show is sponsored by GoToMeeting. Try it free for 45 days. Getting to and from meetings can be a real waste of time and money. Driving 2 hours for a one-hour meeting, flying to headquarters for a half-day training session. Save time and money by meeting online with GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, invite people to meet you online. During your call, they can see your computer screen. Meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days, no credit card required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com and type in the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com and type in PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting free today, no credit card needed. Alright, so like I said, we have plenty of great PodSafe music from the PodSafe Music Network. A little bit of a different vibe going in the PodSafe music. Nothing spooky as of yet. Decided I'd ease into this whole spooktacular thing. People are starting to throw out some crazy gadgets, so that's basically what brought on the spookiness that you see. But still, first up in the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. We have a wonderful artist featured on the front page just ever so briefly at the PodSafe Music Network. His name is Luke McNeil, and his song All the Time is a nice rockin' tune, nice and groovy to get you into the work week. Nothing too harsh or anything else. So again, here's Luke McNeil with his song All the Time.
I took a walk outside to ease my mind, and all I thought about was you. I've been surrounded by all of these thoughts inside. You're part of everything I do, all of the time, all of the time, all of the time, all of the time. Another sleepless night, I'll never make it right, but I'll do everything I can do. Nothing is etched in stone, and you'll never be alone, but that's a fact you always knew. All of the time, all of the time, all of the time. It's cold out without you near, but you're better off without me. It's cold out without you near. You're better off without me. All of the time, all of the time, all of the time.
Again, that was Luke McNeil and his song All the Time from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. One of the reasons I like that song, one of the reasons that I'm so into it, is because it has nice, clear, understandable vocals, has great guitar work all the way through, and has a consistently pleasant melody. It doesn't have any kind of weird snags or anything else in it. So it's a great song. Just thought I'd throw it out there. Hopefully everybody will enjoy that. Again, we are always looking for feedback on any of the music or shows or stories or anything we put out there. So please email us at caffeination@gmail.com. You can go on over to MySpace and join our friends at myspace.com/caffeination. And if you're listening to this podcast on the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, then you can find it at www.caffeination.com. All right, well, on to the tech tidbits, so to speak, today. We've been calling this the vocabulary lesson, but we're actually going to expand it a little bit in the upcoming shows because it's received so much positive feedback. We're just going to call this the Geek Speak section. We're not just going to talk about a... How should we say? We're not just going to talk about things that are, you know, game-centric. We're not just going to talk about things which are, very obtuse. I mean, these could be things that most geeks or most computer people wouldn't necessarily know, but that people who are casual computer users might have maybe the wrong idea about what everything is. So if we find some more, slang words or terms that you might not necessarily know, strange, obtuse acronyms, we'll definitely tell you all about them as well. But we have a couple things that we want to get out there. So we're going to start off today's vocabulary lesson with just a simple explanation of what exactly a client and a server are. Now, these are probably two of the most misunderstood terms in all of technology. I mean, just basically because most people don't know exactly what a client is in reference to a server. Now, there's going to be plenty of people out there who do know what these are, and this is going to be a little bit of a boring segment, so we're going to try and make this nice and short and sweet. A server is any machine that's on a network which provides a service to you. So if you go to a website, that website is housed on hosted on a server. The server is serving a web page. If you're sending an email, then it's hosted by an email server because the service that's providing is email. Same goes for news and all the other different services that web servers can provide, or that servers in general can provide. Any client, just like a shop, is any computer which attaches itself to the server and uses one of these services. It's plain and simple. I mean, it's the easiest way to think about it, I guess, client-server-wise, is probably if you think about a shopping mall. Just think about the internet like a shopping mall. All the servers are all the stores, and all the clients are all the customers entering and leaving the stores. So there you go. We have two other things that are on our vocabulary lesson today. One, somebody actually asked me in RL, if you listened to our last show, they asked me in real life what this meant, so I thought I'd share my knowledge with the rest of you and tell you exactly what crowdsourcing means. Now, crowdsourcing is one of the new Web 2.0 buzzwords that a lot of venture capitalists and other people throw out there, so I figured kind of explain it away, tell you exactly what it means. Well, there's a host of collaborative project softwares out there, things like Wikipedia and other websites, where basically a bunch of people gather together and all of us is stronger than one of us, you know, like, so the sum, it's greater than the sum of its parts, I think. Yeah, the total is greater than the sum of its parts, I think is the actual quote. I'm probably butchering the English language yet again, but still. Basically, what it says is you use a lot of people a little bit at a time to get something done. So this could be crowdsourcing, could be something as similar as like a viral video campaign, or what else could it be? I don't know. I think that's the best way to do it. Or Wikipedia is a crowdsourced encyclopedia. And then the next one's another thing that somebody asked me about not too long ago. They were on a message board and somebody said they posted a flame. What exactly is that? A flame is any kind of incendiary post which basic content is not necessarily to rip at the other person's content, but it's more just to rip at the other person in general. I mean, it's basically something you do to kind of demean the other person, kind of take them down a peg or two. It's usually, the best flames, at least in my opinion, are ones that do not use profanity, because the more profanity that you lace throughout a flame, the less intelligent you really end up seeming in the end of it. And it's not saying that people who use profanity, myself included, are unintelligent, but rather that their command of the English language might be somewhat lacking when it comes to breaking somebody down a little bit. I used to work with a gentleman who was unbelievable at flaming people. I mean, both verbally, written emails, I mean, everything. It was a work of art to watch this man perform. He would have vendors on the phone. I mean, they would say thank you for his insults. So that's how bad it was. And so, I mean, just it was a beautiful thing. So that's basically the essence of flaming someone. And that goes along with other little Usenet terms like troll or lurker. Troll or a lurker are two different things. Lurkers are basically people who just haunt around news groups. They haunt around websites and online communities, and their sole purpose is to they're just there to read the content. They usually don't provide anything. They're usually kind of in the background. Whereas trolls, their sole purpose is to, they'll poke their ugly little head up every once in a while and give a little bit of unwanted commentary. You know, a troll would probably be somebody like, if you're on an Apple Mac and an Apple forum on apple.com and you're discussing problems, somebody popping up and say Windows rules. That's a troll. Or if you're on a Windows-centric forum where people are asking for advice on server maintenance and somebody comes up and says, well, you wouldn't have this problem if you were running an Apple server. That's a troll. So it's kind of like somebody who's not adding anything to the conversation. They're just being a bit of a tool. So, all right. Next thing we wanted to talk a little bit about is two of the better crowdsourcing applications that I've seen out there. The first one's Wikipedia. I mean, if you really haven't had a chance to just wander around it, it is a wonderful site at this point. Don't take anything that it says as canonical. Basically, it's a very good starting place for information. And the best thing, a lot of the scientific articles directly reference journals and other things. You can go there to find the actual terms. So what we need to kind of do is, as an online community in general, is kind of spread the word a little bit about exactly how to use websites like Wikipedia. Now, Wikipedia, at least through my understanding and my experience, has been it's been invaluable in writing papers when I was in college and other things. And I'm not talking about cutting and pasting like sections out of there. I never used it for that, even though the temptation was very great, because there's no way a professor would usually be able to go back and say, okay, this is exactly how Wikipedia had it phrased. No. It's always been a very great source because there's people on there who've done most of the research for you. So if you're trying to prove a point, all of your sources are usually there, if the article's, you know, cited correctly. So, all right. And the next one is factfarm.com. Now, this is a website where I have been addicted in the past. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. But it's basically a site that's completely designed around certain people asking questions. It's almost akin to Wikipedia in the help that it tries to give people, but it's different because in Wikipedia, you don't see people starting articles because they want an answer. You see people adding to articles because they have knowledge about how things work. But you don't see it too many collaborative efforts towards answering people's questions. There's not that kind of give and take. Well, the Fact Farm, found at www.factfarm.com, is this giant compendium of everything you ever wanted to know. It's the giant what if of websites. So basically, just a couple of little of the questions that have been asked recently is, how do you test a motorcycle coil? Or let's see, where to get a list of Silver Star receivers for heroism in the Battle of the Bulge? Or crazy stuff like, how do you replace a head gasket in the 2002 Daewoo Nubria CDX? I mean, these are questions that are all over the place. However, I will say there's a lot of automotive questions on there. Now, basically, has the community of people who ask the questions, then on the opposite side, it has the people who donate their time to answer a lot of the questions. Now, I think this is a fabulous idea. Now, as long as people are, you know, honest and forthright, and the best part about this is that if you have people who are out there and they're kind of asking questions or doing things that are, you could tell their homework, but they're not going to be able to use most of the people's questions because they don't have anything cited. So, I don't know. I'm kind of addicted on there because every time I sign in, I mean, I've helped people with a whole load of different things. And if you don't know me personally, let me just explain one of the things. If you've ever found my profile over at factfarm.com, basically, I answer a lot of pet questions because here at the caffeination lair, we have, let's see, an iguana, three turtles, I used to have a dog, two cats, a horde of fish. I used to also have guinea pigs. I mean, it just basically ran the gamut here. I mean, we've had a virtual Noah's Ark at any different point in time. So I have a lot of knowledge about different kind of pets and everything. So I've seen people asking a lot of guinea pig questions for some reason. But still, it's a great place to go over there. And I always find, whenever I head over there, I always click on the question thing. And there's usually something that I've found that I'm like, oh, yeah, I know the answer to that. Or I know where you can get it, at least. And you can do things as simple as posting a URL where they can find the information. So, I mean, I just think it's an awesome website, and it's really, really nifty to see the amount of response you get for certain things. And I just like to head people on over there, see exactly what they think about it. Next thing up here in the tech tidbits section is a little bit about website updates. We're thinking about changing around the caffeination. Now, I've been playing around with a lot of WordPress installations and over at my personal blog. So if you'll see the style changes every couple days, it's because I'm playing around with WordPress and I recently updated it. So I'm really seriously thinking about moving the caffeination to a new home. So I kind of wanted to get people aware that we might be doing that. Now, you're still always going to be able to find it at caffeination.com, but still, we might end up actually leaving the Podomatic service, I'm not sure, or at least using it to host some of the audio, but still, let's see what else. Yeah, it was kind of like a little general announcement, just putting it out there. Oh yeah, Twit, for those of you who like Twit or This Week in Tech at twit.tv, then it's been proposed there that Leo Laporte is actually thinking about closing up shop for Twit. Now, Twit is one of the shows that is like a flagship podcast. I mean, I think they were the last technology-based podcast that was on the iTunes Top 10. It's always kind of, you know, I mean, almost depressing when you see, you know, new technologies and everything. They're completely, especially like news-based technologies, they're completely filled with technology news and technology-related articles and everything up until they get into the mainstream, and then technology's way down there. So it's kind of like all the new geeks in class who had all the cell phones originally, and then all of a sudden everybody had them, and, you know, geeks are the smallest percentage there, so... But we're always looking for the newer and better things, so I really hope that they're not going off the air, because I really like the show. It's kind of interesting, and it's always fun. It's always a good listen, but still. Let's see. Moving on to some more iPod culture stuff. Just wanted to throw that out there. There's a whole bunch of stuff that always comes out, and I'm really getting tired of the I prefix. Just because you put an I prefix in something, in front of something, does not mean it's automatically, I mean, yes, it does mean it's automatically associated with the iPod, but it kind of, I don't know, it seems to me to be a cheap name. I'm really getting tired of it because there's an entire section of most technology stores now that is, you know, like the I section. And so they might as well just do it that way. But I don't know. It's just irritating me. But, I mean, it's neither here nor there, but you know, you can tell that they really didn't put that much thought into these things, at least in the name section, but still. First up, we have the iLamp. Now, this is an interesting little idea, although I can't really imagine a desk without a computer on it, but still. If you have just such an animal, this is the perfect tool for you. So if you're an architecture student or something like that, long hours under a bright light bulb and no computer in sight, you're just doing a lot of hand drafting, then this might actually help you out. But what it is it's a desk lamp, you know, like a little mechanical arm desk lamp, and the base of the desk lamp has an iPod dock, which allows you to plug in your iPod into speakers that are located in the dock, or in the base of the lamp. Now, this looks like a pretty sturdy lamp, so the only bad part about it is it's $90. So the people that I can imagine using it, you know, students, people with not very much money enough, or not enough money to have a laptop and carry it around with them everywhere, I think the price point that they're talking about, $89, is more than a little bit steep. I mean, you can buy cheap speakers for like $5 that you can, I mean, this doesn't even have an iPod dock. This is just, you know, like the normal little plug for any kind of, how do you say that? Any normal little audio jack that comes out of the iPod. Has two little built-in speakers, and then it's a half-decent desk lamp. Half-decent desk lamp, $20. Half-decent pair of speakers, I'll say like $10, $15. And, cradle for an iPod, let's see, get a little bit of Play-Doh or one of those the hardening model clays, plug it in, and bake it in the oven without the iPod, of course. And look, boom, you got yourself something for about $35, you know, $40. It might not look as spiffy, but still. I mean, I found two little, different little websites there, and you can find the different things. I really like the idea. It's just the price point has to come down seriously before somebody thinks about this. And then in the realm of stardom nice and young, if you don't have a CD player for the crib for your baby, they now have iCrib, which is a tiny little speaker system so that you can get your child addicted to Def Leppard nice and early. Now, here's something where they really thought it out. The iCrib is only $30. It's just a little iPod dock that has speakers that hooks over the rail of the crib. Now, this is a company that really thought out their market. They're like, okay, now what's the kind of person that's going to be using this? Obviously, it's going to be a younger couple usually that has a spare iPod or an iPod they wanted to use that's full of children's lullabies or whatever, but still, I mean, they're not going to be able to spend $60, $70, $80 on something, although they really could have tried to charge something like that. Now they need the iPod video dock for like $60 and, you know, have little DVDs. In this vein, I actually saw something the other day, which it's my first parent-related moment where it irritated the hell out of me just looking at it. I don't know about anybody else out there, but I always thought when you were out to dinner with your family, it was kind of like, you know, you're actually in a restaurant, you know, it was time to actually pay attention to your family. But we walked into this rather nice restaurant the other day. There's a family of four sitting there. Mom, dad, older brother, and younger brother. Younger brother had a little portable DVD player sitting in front of him, in front of his plate, completely engrossed in that, just watching that and not taking part in the conversation. If your child is not sociable enough to sit at dinner out without some form of stimulation in front of them, I mean, that's pretty sad. I mean, I hope I'm not offending anybody out there, or even if you are, I mean, seriously. But it's, you know, it's like, okay, I can see that the DVD player in the headrests of your car shuts the kids up on long drives, but to really need to shut your kid up that much during dinner? I mean, it was just, I don't know, it's another one of those, It's another one of those little things that's like, I really hope that it'll end up that way. That's all. On to, let's see, just have two links up there. Didn't really want to talk about them too much other than to let you know that they were out there. But we have the 20 worst games ever. Now, these are some pretty old games, and most of them. I mean, the worst game of all time is actually E.T. the Extraterrestrial. It came out in, I think, 1983. The game was so bad that it actually caused the demise of the Atari 2600. Now, they had some little statistics at the bottom that basically said Atari, or the company that, let's see, it says the company that actually crafted the game, first of all, the graphics were absolutely horrible. They made like 5 million cassettes or something like that. And the game was so bad, so non-functional, that they actually ended up giving rebates for most of them, and they ended up burying the large amount of the stock in the in a landfill somewhere in Mexico. But still, just wanted to send people on over there so you can see some of the other ones. I don't think I've actually played any of these except the world's best musical shoot 'em up, which is Revolution X. It's where you're using music as your weapon to as Aerosmith fights international terrorists. Now, Aerosmith's one of my favorite bands, but still, that game was absolutely horrible. And something that I really never thought about up until this point, because I usually only played it in the arcade, but apparently every bad guy in the game was the same guy who had two basic frames, shooting and dying. And they're all wearing this bright yellow jacket with little, goggles up on top. And otherwise, I mean, it was just a normal shoot 'em up in the arcade, but still, that was just pretty bad. And then on to the 10 biggest computer flops of all time. We'll just run down this. Gary Kildall's CP/M, not sure what that was. IBM OS 2, it's a much better operating system, most people thought, than operating system / computer, I believe, than most people thought of as the initial version of Windows, Windows 95, or the initial large install of Windows, Windows 95, but it just didn't have the legs to make it very far. Microsoft Bob, who we're just going to move on. Microsoft Windows ME. It's one of the only operating systems anybody's ever put out where the company publicly apologized for doing it. And every time, like, there's still some computers out there. Please, all the techs, all the geeks, anybody who's listening to this podcast, if you are currently listening to this podcast either on Windows ME or you know somebody who's still using Windows ME, please beg of them not to call tech support. Because the last time I showed up with and I had to work on somebody's computer with Windows ME, they're like, well, what's so bad about this? I mean, I bought it. It was a really expensive computer when I did. And you try and go through the whole thing and say, look, Microsoft apologized for what they did to your computer with this operating system. You would have been better pouring water into the front of it. It is a non-functional piece of crap. But, all right. Then there was three Apple products right in a row. Apple Lisa, the Apple III. The Apple III has the distinction of being an $8,000 piece of computer where Steve Jobs refused to have a fan on it. So it was just one giant heatsink and overheated very frequently. And then the Apple Newton, which was the Apple Palm Pilot. IBM PC Junior, the Next computer, which was another Steve Jobs project. And the Xerox Alto. Still, I'm not actually sure what the Xerox Alto was, but I don't agree with the choice of the Next computer. It was a supercomputer supposedly for $6,000 and had very limited amounts of software that ran on it. But in one of my last jobs, we actually still had a Next box sitting upstairs in the computer room, and it ran the university's dictionary server. In fact, from what I understand, it's still running the university's dictionary server. It's basically where when you're logged into one of the Unix servers, you can type in Webster and then a word, and it would give you the correct spelling of the word if you messed it up, and it would also spit out definitions and everything else. It was a really fabulous program, but still, the computer had never crashed in like 4 years at one point. So any computer that has 4 years of uptime, you know, I think's pretty well built, but still. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh yes, the Pumpkin computer. Now we're moving on to our next story. Sorry for the little jump there, but the Pumpkin computer. Now, there's two of these listed, so I just thought I would throw them out there. This is the beginning of our spooky technology here. Kind of let people know the crazy stuff that's out there. Now, one of the things I actually feel a little bit bad about the guys who did the first Pumpkin computer. I mean, it's fully functional. They show it running Windows XP and has hard OCP up on the website. And it's a real pumpkin. I mean, this thing's wet. But I believe they have some kind of padding in the bottom, and they dried it out a little bit. But a lot of people are ripping into the guys and saying, oh, look, this is a perfectly, you know, it's a non-functional mod. Basically, it's a modification to a case, or it is a new case, basically. But, that's a waste of time. I don't care if it's a waste of time. It's still pretty cool. I mean, they actually cut fan holes into a pumpkin. And it's a pretty good-looking pumpkin, too, so you should really check out that link. And then the Pumpooter 1.0, it's a way of disassembling, two people disassembled an Apple IIe and put it inside a pumpkin. Now, I've seen a lot of crazy things done with the Apple IIe. I've actually seen I've seen it turned into a fish tank and a whole bunch of other stuff, but still, this is the first time I've ever seen it built into a piece of fruit. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting, too. So I thought I'd just put them out there. Want to know if anybody else finds any spooky technology, fun little gifts or gadgets. So just send them to caffeination@gmail.com. Now, I didn't know what else to do here, so I just thought that I should probably throw this out there just because I'm a sucker for crazy news stories. We have the Lego flamethrower. Now, there's not very many terms which you really don't ever expect to have put next to each other, but yeah, there's one of them here. And the only thing that they don't use as a which they use, which is not part of the Lego set, is a piece of string in the butane refill cans. So apparently, through some manner, there's a video of this thing working. So if you go on over to caffeination.com, you can actually click on the link, and it's pretty impressive. But still, I mean, it's crazy the amount of flame they actually got here. Now, first of all, flamethrowers in general just are pretty cool looking, but still, this is more than a little crazy. So please head on over to caffeination.com, check out the flamethrower. All right, now here's one thing which I've seen on Dig, Tech Dirt, Gizmodo, Slashdot, and a whole bunch of other news services, and I kind of wanted to clear some stuff up. Now, everybody seems to get this story wrong, and it's kind of irritating to me. more than a little bit because it's about the Boy Scouts. But for those of you who don't know, I'm actually an Eagle Scout. I was in Scouts up until I was 18, and I think it's a wonderful, in the most part, I think it's a wonderful start to a young man's life. It gives them, if you really listen to the stuff you have that they preach, on the most part, and it really gives you a solid foundation for respect for other people, and as you move forward throughout your life, and it's a really good foundation. It's what I credit a lot of my work ethic and success to later on in life for, you know, for scouting. So that and my father, because he did so much with scouting and pretty much stayed with me through the entire thing. And but still, that's not what I came to talk to you about today. I came to talk to you about the draft. No, just kidding. All right, apparently the Motion Picture Association, or MPAA, is now offering what everybody keeps calling a merit badge. They're not offering a merit badge. What they did is they sponsored, they gave a donation to the Scouts, and they have something called an activity patch. It's an anti-piracy activity patch. Now, to put this in kind of perspective, anyone can have an activity patch. Basically, it's something where it's not required for advancement through Scouts. You can go there, you can do it, and you just get a patch. You can't even wear this on your uniform. This goes on like your bag or your sorry about that. The cats are fighting behind me and scared the hell out of me. This goes on your bag, this goes on a coat or something like that. This is not an official part of the Scout uniform. In fact, you can get reprimanded for having an activity patch on there. I mean, different things like that are, if you go on the Gettysburg hike for Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, you can get patches for doing different parts of that. That goes on there. That's an activity patch. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, these are activities for when you go and visit things or perform certain actions, then you can get them. Like if you attend a national jamboree, you can get an activity patch. I mean, these are the kind of things that they're talking about. Now, the thing that seems to irritate, or that irritates me the most about this, isn't that it's a completely, you know, hokey way of doing it. And, you know, basically they're saying visit a movie studio and see all the people who would be hurt if you were to pirate a movie, or create a public service announcement against piracy. I mean, we all know piracy is inherently wrong, but they just keep going about it in the wrong way. I mean, it just seems so smarmy the way that they're attacking people. But it just irritates me that people are talking about this. You know, it irritates me as a former Boy Scout and, you know, Eagle Scout, that people are talking about this as if it were a merit badge, as if it was something that you would need to advance within scouting. So I just wanted to kind of clear that up there and put that out so people understood exactly what they're talking about. So it's the Respect Copyrights Activity Patch. Yeah, I don't know. You can take it or leave it, you know, whether or not you think it's a good idea that they did it. Hopefully I'm going to be getting a little bit of feedback about this. Again, caffeination@gmail.com. Let's see what else we have. Oh, yeah, the last part, yet again, we have another little tidit section. Tidit being this day in tech. We like to try and throw current events out there or things that are tech-related that might have happened on this day in history. October 22nd, turns out, is National Caps Lock Day, or International Caps Lock Day. There's two different links to it, so I think it's more of a joke about anything than anything. A lot of different websites actually posted news posts about this, all in capital letters, so I just thought I should throw that out there, and that just about wraps up the caffeination. Or not the caffeination, but the tech tidbits, rather. Before we get into the general information and the caffeinated bits, we're going to throw down our other piece of PodSafe music. So now from Stephanie Harger, we have Black Coffee from the PodSafe Music Network. It's another little slow song. We didn't want to jolt you out of bed too hard in the this Monday morning. We're having kind of a relaxed Sunday evening here. Suffering a little bit from sports fatigue syndrome. See, I'm a Philadelphia sports fan, and nothing's been going good for us lately. So, not really having an excited, happy evening here. It's just been kind of a little down. You get so excited for some of these sporting events, and then things just fall apart, and you're like, there's nothing you can do but sigh and move on. So, all right. Again, here's Stephanie Harger and her song "Black Coffee."
I'm feeling mighty lonesome, haven't slept a wink. I walk the floor and watch the door, and in between I drink black coffee. Love's a hand-me-down brew. I'll never know a Sunday in there. I'm talking to the shadows, 1 o'clock till four. And Lord, how slow the moments go when all I do is pour black coffee. Since the blues caught my eye, I'm hanging out on Monday. My Sunday dreams too dry. Now man is born to go a-loving, a woman's born to weep and fret, to stay at home and tend her oven and down her past regrets in coffee and cigarettes. I'm mooning all morning, morning all the night, and in between it's nicotine and not much hard to fight. Black coffee, feeling low as the ground, it's driving me crazy, this waiting for you, baby, to come around.
Again, that was Stephanie Harger in her song Black Coffee. So I'd like to know what people think about that. I thought it was a nice, good, mellow song. Nice way to, brighten up the day. Hopefully set your Monday off in the right direction. So again, we want to take care of a little bit of house cleaning here. First up, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Our show is also proudly listed over at the Blueberry website at BLUBRRY. It's a social podcasting network site where you can see all the shows that we listen to and all the shows that feel like listening to and commenting upon our production here. So we have a direct link in our show notes to our listing, so you can see who we listen to or who talks about us. We also have a my personal blog over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog, where there's at least weekly, or we're trying to do an update after every show, but it doesn't always work out. But still, there's always fresh content up there, and lately there's always been a fresh layout to look at. So head on over there and just tell me what you think about that. If you think I'm full of crap, I mean, please tell me. I love to hear that, but still. All right, now on to our caffeinated bits sections today. Now, last year I was hearing tell of a pumpkin spice coffee at some gas station around where I live, and I was like, oh wow, this is really cool. Now, this is just an interesting little idea, and I never got to try it out. I wasn't sure if it was cappuccino, frappuccino, any kind of, milky different coffee flavored thing, but still, it was pumpkin spiced coffee, and I love the fall. So I was like, all right, let me try and find a recipe for how to do one at home. Can't find it anywhere. So if anybody has it, please let me know. All I could find is this recipe for coffee spice or pumpkin coffee cake, which has no coffee in it, so it's worthless to me, but still. Then we have another pumpkin. It's a Ceylon pumpkin, so you can head on over there and check that out. It's actually an interesting little carve job that somebody did. If you're not sure exactly what a Ceylon is, then you can definitely see one. If you ever see the beginning credits of the A-Team, Face walks by one because he used to be on the show. So there you go. And now let's see. Oh yeah, the last little thing we have here is actually a little gadget, and then I have one little tip to spice up your coffee, and somebody has actually suggested it to me a little bit ago, so I want to pass that along to everybody. But let's see, yeah, let's try this. No, that's wrong. Sorry. All right, the last little link we have here is for a little jar add-on, which can tell you how long a particular jar has been open. So basically how many days, how many hours, that it's not, it doesn't activate as soon as you open it up and then when you leave the lid off. No, it continues to operate for after you have the lid open, so you can kind of guess how long the pickles have been in the fridge. But what I'm really looking forward to, I mean, I don't think it's actually going to work this way because it works in those pop-top cans, but I would love if they could make something like this so you could tell exactly how long a can of coffee has been open, how long it's actually been exposed to air, but still. I just thought it was interesting, so I thought I'd pass it along. Now, we're always looking for new spices to add to coffee, and if you've been listening to the Caffeination here for a little bit, then basically you know we've tried nutmeg, we've tried cloves, cinnamon. We'd actually dissuade people from trying cinnamon and adding it there. One of the things that we used to talk about a little bit was adding vanilla extract to coffee, because it takes a little bit of the chemical taste out of some of the lesser varietals of instant coffee. But also, one of the things somebody told me to try is try pumpkin spice. Now, I didn't have any pumpkin spice, so I tried allspice. Now, it definitely created an interesting blend, and it was not bad. So I would heartily recommend at this point trying allspice. So we're going to add that to the list of spices which you should be able to add to the grounds before brewing. And then we're going to add, might even add it to the spices that you can add after the fact. I actually also wanted to say that I submitted a recipe to ineedcoffee.com for the coffee float, and I'll be able to link you directly over there so you can head it out. As of November 1st, the recipe should be going up. So, yeah, just keep your fingers crossed because you'll be able to check that out and see all the pictures and everything I took. But, all right, I think that just about wraps it up for the caffeination section today, or the caffeinated bits section, rather. So we just take a little bit of time to say if you're looking for this show, you can find it over at caffeination.com. That's www.caffeination.com. You can email us your comments, suggestions, hate mail over at caffeination@gmail.com. Our personal blog is over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. And our MySpace friends account is myspace.com/caffeination. We'd like to thank everybody who's been listening for a while, who's stuck around for a couple shows. Thank you very much for listening, tuning in, downloading the show, and telling us what you think of it whenever you get a chance. And we'd also like to thank everybody who's new to the show. And if you've made it thus far, congratulations. It's been a pretty long show, but hopefully it's been a good one. So thanks, everybody. And until next time, stay caffeinated, people.